Shkalim per Gimel Mishnah base 3-2, and now we discuss the actual taking of the sample of coins from the chamber where they're kept. So the Mishnah says, "B'shalosh kupos shel shalosh shalosh se'in tar minas alishka." They use three separate baskets or containers, boxes, and in each container there was the capacity to hold three sa'a of volume, and they would do that 3 times a year. So that means that you have a sa'a in my shirim, I like to always say, is like a 6-pack of 2-liter bottles, 12 liters. So that means they had three baskets. Each basket was 3 times that amount. So let's say 36 liters, roughly 10 gallons. And he took three of them. So they're taking a total of, like, say, 108 liters of silver coins, something like 30 gallons of silver coins, which is a tremendous amount of silver. In weight, you're talking about something that is around 100 kilos. Excuse me, around 1,000 kilos or so. So you're talking like a literal ton of silver, worth in today's dollars, probably close to $1 million in each of the three takings. And in shekels, I'm getting roughly close to three million shekels. So an incredible amount of coins are taken each time. Uksuv behen, and it's written on each of the three containers, Aleph, Base, Gimel. The Hebrew letters Aleph, Base, Gimel. And the idea is that they would actually make an effort to use the contents of the first container labeled Aleph first, and then go to the second labeled Base, and the third labeled Gimel. The reason why we have this sort of like this threefold, 3 times a year, three baskets, each basket, three saw, is because there's a pasuk in Nehemiah, it's in Perek Yud, pasuk Lamed Gimel, which is talking about the giving of shkalim to the Beis HaMikdash in the time of Nehemiah, the beginning of Bayis Sheni, and there's an extra word, shlishes. It says, Vehemidanu aleinu mitzvas lases aleinu shlishes hashekel. They put on us to give this third of a coin, and this third is considered mutar, extra. B'shana la'avodas beis elokeinu, for the year, for the service of our God. So the shlishes, the reference to the third, is taken by the rabbis to indicate it should be done in like a three-part way, as I just described. Okay, so Tanakhama held that the three baskets were labeled Aleph, Beis, Gimel. Rabbi Yishmol Amer, Yavanis Ksuv Behen. Rabbi Yishmol says, no, the baskets, the boxes, were actually labeled in Greek, ancient Greek, with the letters Alpha, Beta, Gamla, which are as Alpha, Beta, and Gamma, the first three letters of the Greek alphabet. According to Rabbi Yishmol, this was done to fulfill the pasuk that is back in Bereishis, Perek Tes, pasuk Chafzayin, which says, Yaft Elokim leYefes veYishkon baOlei Shem, which Chazal understands to reference the fact that the Yafuso shel Yefes, the most beautiful aspect of the language of the descendants of Yefes, that was one of Noach's three children, is the Greek language, and that should be Yishkon baOlei Shem, that should dwell in the tents of Shem, from whom the Jewish people are descended. So it's understood that there should be a place in the Ohel, in the Beis HaMikdash, if you will, of the Jewish people, a feature that includes the most beautiful aspect of Yefet's culture, which is the Greek language. So that will be a place for it, using the Greek characters. In fact, the halacha is not like that, so we say Aleph, Beis, Gimel in Hebrew. Okay, now, Ein HaTorim Nichnas Lo B'Fargud Chafus. The person who's going in, the Torim, the guy who's taking those coins out, so he has to make sure that when he goes in, his clothing has no place to conceal coins, so people shouldn't suspect he's stealing. So it can't be that it has like hems in the clothing, or linings in the clothing, or pockets in the clothing, etc. V'lo b'min'al, v'lo b'sandal. He can't wear shoes. Min'al is a shoe that's made of like kind of soft leather, as opposed to a sandal. It's a sandal with hard leather at the bottom. Bit of a question, in as much as there's an isser to wear shoes on the Har HaBayis, and therefore it's not conceivable to be wearing it anyways. Either it's saying to tell you the lesson, or perhaps, let's say, it's wearing like slippers that are made out of cloth, etc., they're referring to them as minel and sandal. The point is, he shouldn't have a place to conceal any coins. Veloba tefillin, veloba kamiya. He can't wear his tefillin or a kamiya. Kamiya is like an amulet, so that can be shaped like a leather pouch, etc. Tefillin, you know what tefillin look like. The chiddush here is we're saying he takes off his tefillin. Now, in the time of the Mikdash, people would wear tefillin all day, but here we're saying he takes off his tefillin again, so people shouldn't suspect he's hiding inside the tefillin box any of these coins. Because why? Shema Ya'ani, maybe, and this is really an insight into human nature. It's not that right away people start pointing fingers, of course, they didn't steal anything, right? But then, later on, lest he become poor, and then V'yomru, Me'avon HaLishka Ha'ani, the people will start murmuring, they'll say, you know why he got poor? Because he must have stolen from the temple treasury. Oshemi Ashir, or go the other way. Maybe he's going to become rich over the course of the next year. V'yomru, Mitrumas HaLishka Ha'ashir. Yeah, you know why he got rich? Because he must have pilfered some money from the temple treasury. And therefore, he has to go in a way that is totally above board and above reproach and above suspicion. The Mishnah says an important principle for life in general, which is this person, like all people, need to act in such a way that he is not just clean and clear in the eyes of heaven, but also similarly that people down here on planet Earth don't suspect them of anything improper. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, V'yisim nekiyim me'ashem umi Yisrael. That's a Pasuk that is taken from when Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to the tribes of Reuven and Gad, that they wanted to stay, but they didn't want to go into Eretz Yisrael. They wanted to keep as their portion the Transjordan area. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, listen, you're not going to keep that until first you go and help your brethren conquer the land of Israel. So people shouldn't think they just didn't want to go because you were scared or afraid, didn't want to participate. So the point is here that the Pasuk refers to being naki, free of suspicion, mehashem, both from God, umi Yisrael, and in the eyes of your fellow Jew. Putting those like back to back, you see that it's important not just to be what Hashem thinks of you, but also what people think of you as well. Va'omer, and we bring a second pasuk. This is the pasuk from Mishlei. Pasuk says, umtzachein v'seichel tov be'enei Elohim v'adam. Person has to find chein v'seichel tov. He has to have He has to be in the good graces and with proper, you know, respect and attitude towards him, be'enei Elohim, in the eyes of God, and also va'adam, and also in the eyes of fellow man. This pasuk is coming to add that visim nekiyim, the previous pasuk just says, don't do anything that you know, would make you be look suspicious, that they should suspect you of something. But the second pasuk here, telling you to be motzi chein v'seichel tov, means actually you have to go to a way to make sure that people think positively and kindly of you, just as Hashem, you want Hashem to think positively and kindly of you. So therefore, that's in addition to the basic din that he can't go in a way that he looks suspicious. Anyway, this is a general principle in Kol Torah Kula and the way a Jew should live his life. I always get the question, I'm now on a soapbox for a minute. This bothers people. They say, listen, there's a mitzvah to don l'chav schus. Why is it my responsibility to go above and beyond and make sure that no one suspects me of doing something wrong? I'm doing nothing wrong. I know I'm doing nothing wrong. Hashem knows I'm doing nothing wrong. Why do I have to, you know, go out of my way to inconvenience myself in whatever scenario it is so people shouldn't suspect that I'm doing something wrong? They have a mitzvah not to suspect me. The answer is, it's true there's a mitzvah on the observer to don l'chav schus, but there's also a mitzvah, you see right here, on every special Jew to ensure peace and harmony amongst his community and the Jewish people, and therefore not do things that make people raise their eyebrows and be suspicious. And to that end, the Yerushalmi also adds there were other things that they did to ensure nothing untoward happened inside that lishka, in the chamber when he was taking the coins. So for example, the guards outside would talk to him the whole time, so they knew that he wasn't putting money in his mouth and swallowing it or hiding it in his mouth, and they would sort of check the nap of his clothing as he came out, so again, so there's nothing hidden inside his clothing, etc. The Rambam also paskens that the person they choose to be the one to take the truma shouldn't be someone who's just impoverished and poor and therefore have sort of incentive to take money, or someone who's known to be a rodef mammon, someone who's especially, you know, avaricious, kind of greedy, and that kind of person, of course, is the wrong choice for a functionary to be working with huge amounts of money on behalf of the tzibbur.